All right. Well, I don't know where Marilia is, but we will proceed without her. She's just coming slowly. Okay. Fine. I understand that staff are online and ready to make this a remote participation possibility, although I don't know if anybody will actually be remotely participating. Let's find out so we can begin. Shall I make an opening benediction? Who is there? I'm not hearing this. Is there a staff person online?
Hello, this is Natalie. This is Natalie from Staff on the Bridge.
Hi, Natalie from Staff on the Bridge. Okay, so you can fire it up or whatever you want to do to get it going.
That's perfect. The recordings have been started. We have the NCUC Adobe Connect Room ready too, and the way streaming in this also.
Thank you so much. So, good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for being here for the next hour, unless we get bored and decide to cut it short. Yes, I know, Avery. Thank you very much. We are all tired. This is Bill Drake. I'm the chair of NCUC, and we are having a constituency breakout meeting for the next hour. And then tomorrow morning, we shall reconvene with the MPOC folks as well at the stakeholder group level. I'm waiting for my colleagues to stop chatting, okay, which may not happen, but I will try anyway. So, first of all, does everybody know each other? We have just had an NCUC Executive Committee election, and we have new folks here, and has everybody met everybody? I just wanted to make sure as I look around the room. No? Okay. So we did brief introductions before, but we could perhaps the NCUC Executive Committee people could just reintroduce themselves briefly first, and then the veterans and other folks here can follow suit quickly. So we can start with the young lady at the end of that table there.
My name is Grace Givega. NCUC Africa Rep.
And this is your second term on the NCUC Executive Committee, correct, Grace? And do you work somewhere? Do you have any information you might want people to know about you?
I am an associate with the Kenya ICT Action Network, KICTANET, and I do a couple of other stuff, including being a student, which I'm just about to complete, maybe in the next 2 months. Thank you.
Fantastic. Good luck with that. Shuan?
Well, hello, everybody. I am Zhuan Zhang, and I use my English name, Peter Green. I come from Beijing, China. And I have seen and have met many of you in ICANN meetings, and what I didn't meet is may I have your name, Matthew Shears, and this lady, and yes, nice to meet you. Thank you, guys.
Okay, fantastic.
All right, my name is João Carlos Caribe. I'm from Brazil. I'm a member for EC, too, this is this time, the first time in EC. I attended 3 times fellowship program at ICANN. The 2 first times I spent time passionate about the fellowship program. But there's how this works, how to understand it. And now there's opportunity to work more closer to the NCUC. Just I tried before to find my way in the group. I think I can help a lot and can work, you know, on this job opportunity. And now I'm activist from Brazil. I working for a collective called Movimento Mega. It's a collective, it's not organized formal organization, but it win a lot of important battles in Brazil, just not working alone, work together For example, we're using the important chancellor studies from the CTS, representing here from Morelia, with important other groups and organizations together. That's it. That's our eternal battle, eternal struggle to keep the internet as we know.
Thank you, sir. Waleed, why don't you introduce yourself, too, because you're new to, I think, a lot of people.
Yes, I'm Waleed Al-Sakaf. Just like Grace, I was a doctoral student, but recently I graduated with it. So Dr. Waleed, they call me. And I've been with the NCUC for over a year as a member. Attended a couple of meetings of ICANN in Singapore and China. And recently I've been hoping to add more value to my participation, perhaps in supporting you in terms of outreach. I have a degree in media and communication, so that's where I'm good at, and getting information out and formulating it in a way. And I thought maybe I'd help in recalibrating the platform you have online to become more user-friendly and more attractive to newcomers and informative in some way. Yep, that's me.
We have more in store for you than that, but I'll tell you later.
Hi, my name is Stefania. It's my second year on the executive committee. I came to be involved with ICANN through the GAC, actually, because I was temporarily representative for Italy, my country. However, I live in the Netherlands now. I'm an academic, and I work at the University of Amsterdam and at the University of Tilburg. I guess that's it.
The rest of us are more veteran, but I guess we should briefly introduce ourselves, and so, because the new folks won't know us, so...
Not veterans.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm Kathy Kleiman, and I'm an attorney. I work in the area of free speech, freedom of expression, fair use, and privacy.
Kathy was the co-founder of NCUC. She's being very shy. She's as veteran as they come. Stephanie? Does everybody know Stephanie?
I think I'm only a veteran in age. I have been here, it'll be 2 years in February. I was actually recruited by Kathy to join the experts working group on new GTLD directory services, and I got hooked, and so I joined NCUC, and here I am. And I, too, am a PhD student, although I'm an old one, having retired from 35 years in government doing information policy issues. So I'm at the University of Toronto, Faculty of Information, studying ICANN, by the way, and why they don't have privacy.
Do we have any more PhD students on the...
Yes, indeed, we do. I'm David Cake. I am currently a PhD student. I am also studying ICANN. You study what takes up all your time anyway. Apart from that, I'm also the chair of Electronic Frontiers Australia and currently vice chair of the GNSU Council.
Do we have any more PhD students, Marilia?
Hi, my name is Marilia Maciel. I am a researcher and coordinator of the Center for Technology and Society in FGV Brazil. I'm also a PhD student working with international relations and cybersecurity issues, and also I'm a newcomer at ICANN. I've been here for 2 years as well, but a veteran in internet governance. I've been working with internet governance for almost 10 years now.
I am Matthew Shears. I don't have a PhD, and I'm not a PhD student, I'm afraid to say. And I'm also a veteran in age, I suspect. I work for the Center for Democracy and Technology here in Washington, D.C., although I'm based in the U.K. I've been in the internet governance space since 2005 or thereabouts, and relatively new to ICANN, actually, and a new member, and on the policy committee. Thanks.
Former PhD students are also welcome.
No, I am a twice-over PhD dropout. I'm very proud. Name's Avri Doria. I barely make it to veteran of NCUC. I think I was in among the last batch of people to join NCUC before we started turning into NCSG. So that gives me slight veteran status, but I don't think of myself as a NCUC veteran. I tend to think of myself as an NCSG member primarily. I'm an itinerant researcher. I spent 25 years in industry where I directed research. And since the bubble burst at the turn of the century, I've been basically gainfully unemployed doing bits and pieces of technology research and policy research. And that's me.
I said, and finally, we have... Serious throat. Come on, it's been a long day, Rafiq. Let's go.
Yes, yes, my name is Rafiq Amak. I am the chair of NCAG. Maybe technically I'm the boss of Bill Drake. In your dreams.
Anyway. Okay, thank you. And also online and participating remotely, we have Robin Gross and also Ben Akinmoye. I don't know how to say your last name, Ben. I'm sorry. Akinmoye. Does that sound close, Chris? Do you know, Ben? I feel bad now. Ben's typing and saying what an ass I am for mispronouncing his name. So, Akinmoyeje, that's why I said it right. Okay, thank you, Ben. So, all right. So, first of all, I want to make an obvious point because I'm an obvious person. We hear a lot of discussion about the difficulty of drawing people into the ICANN world, how it's a closed little bubble, it's the same old suspects, blah, 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 blah. And yet I'm looking around the room and I'm seeing a whole bunch of people who were not involved in ICANN a year ago, a half a year ago, 2 years ago, and so on. I think actually we are doing very well from the standpoint of bringing in new blood and getting people engaged. And I think that's something we should take note of and be proud of and continue to work on together. Of course, obviously, much more needs to be done. And I think in a lot of ways, civil society people are most pressed in a way because a lot of the folks upstairs, they're lobbyists or policy advocates for companies that have financial stakes in the ICANN-related space. And so they've got a very strong incentive to put a lot of time into ICANN work. And we are all, as we just listened to, working, trying to have other lives entirely, working in other governance spaces and organizations, writing PhDs and similar, and yet we're contributing a lot of volunteer time to try to hold up civil society's representation in this space. So I think that that's something that we should be aware of, that we deserve a little pat on the back from ourselves for if nobody else offers it to us. So that's just one point. A second point, I just wanted to say, we had a NCUC Executive Committee meeting in my room at 7:30 in the morning or 7:45 in the morning, and we did a couple of things, one of which was to make appointments. So we have appointed to the NCSG Executive Committee now Tapani Tarizan, how do I say his last name, and Robin Gross as our new representatives for the next year. So Milton Mueller is stepping down from that position on the NCSG EC that he's been holding for some time. And we appointed David and Amir because they couldn't escape as our representatives on the SCI, the in the GNSO. And we appointed, as our representative of PIR, which is a pretty low-intensity activity. Milton as our treasurer. And Waleed, further to our discussions previous and your expression on the NCUC discuss list of a willingness to play this role, We would like to appoint you as well as the facilitator of the membership affairs team to try to reboot a framework for engagement between EC members and regular members to work on member in-reach and engagement, and particularly focusing on the concerns of newbies, new members, trying to get them plugged into the system and help them figure out what's where and so on and so forth. You had said that you were willing to do that, and so we have decided that we very much love for you to do that, and so the axe has fallen. And so now, you, by virtue of being here, you will take on that role. So we will send out minutes of that meeting and announcing those things once we get our act together. So thank you for that. Okay, and I hope people will support it. We tried 2 years ago. For those who don't remember, when I first stood for election in 2012, I proposed this notion of having teams that would take on some of the functional tasks, tying together executive committee members with regular members to do certain things. And some of those worked out fairly well, and some just never got the traction because people that said that they would lead them didn't, and so on, and so they kind of fell apart. We have had a e-team, and which is to say electronic platforms team, that has been managing our web and email lists and other things fairly successfully on a collaborative basis with a core group of people that have been doing a lot of stuff. We've had a team that did event planning, and the others have kind of drifted, including the membership and affairs team. But they're nevertheless, if you look at the NCUC website, I think there's still a list of like 15 people who, when I tried to start this 2 years ago, said that they wanted to participate. And we recently had a discussion 2 months ago, something like that, on a list where a number of new members said, yes, there really should be some sort of mechanism for us to have dialogue around promoting the engagement of new members, et cetera, which you participate in the discussion. So I think there is latent demand out there among NCUC members to have some kind of a process for this. And so I'm hoping that people will support the membership affairs team and get involved and help Waleed try to put in place some kind of a mechanism. I think this would be a good thing for people from the executive committee to get involved in as well if they can. Any comments, thoughts on that? Yes, Rafiq, sir. And welcome, Dan.
Okay. So, Bill, I guess you are going to send an email to executive committee to announce the appointment. I mean, NCIG executive committee.
I guess we will.
You should.
Stephanie drafted minutes, and Stefania, I'm sorry, I'm tired now. And once we've had a time to clean that up, we will do that.
I mean, just because usually we have the NCIGC, we have we try to have conf call in the last Friday of every month to do the application review, so it's better. That's soon as possible, so we can get Tapani in the board.
Thank you for letting us know.
Okay, the question about engagement and to get people involved. I mean, I followed the discussion in NCUC. I didn't want to intervene, but because I hear that from different people that we need support, we need help, and so it's not easy to get involved, but at some level, I think we are trying to help, to support, to provide information. But I want just to ask people, I mean, how much level of personal effort you put to get involved? Because sometimes I'm afraid that people are underestimating the time commitment and the learning curve, and just they are more expecting a lot of support. So it's not criticism here, but just try to understand. Because I think most of us went through that process, and you need to do some effort. So I'm just asking you a question to try to understand.
Seeing as how I'm still on that learning curve, and I don't want to whine and complain. I'm not whining and complaining, really. And I should also have a disclaimer, being a PhD student, I'm also writing a chapter on this because I think one of the problems in civil society actually achieving its goals is the fundamental difficulty of getting people up to speed. The problem that by the time, I think I mentioned it this morning, by the time they've got it all figured out well enough that they can contribute, they've run out of funding, you know, because they're no longer eligible for fellowship funding, and there's a limit there. I know myself, I'm busy working off plane tickets that I got to go to IGF so that, you know, as a civil society person, you're always panhandling to get in to the meeting and in the door. That's a sort of systemic problem. But in terms of if you have not studied this stuff, if you don't have the background, if you want to understand, let's say in my case, because I've got a policy background, I want to understand the technology behind the DNS and some of the intellectual property things, I need somebody to explain things if I'm on a working group. Because when I was on the EWG, I would periodically, and I was hampered very much by the Chatham House rules problem there, I'd have to phone up, say, Kathy, and ask these out-of-the-sky, not-revealing-anything questions, hoping that I'd captured it correctly. I think that people are in that situation where they need some kind of, ask a question, not so much as a mentor, because nobody has any time to mentor somebody, but they need some kind of, how do I find out the answer to these questions without looking like an idiot, because we can't have our new people feel shy about asking questions. Just want to put that on the table.
Thank you for that, Stephanie. I didn't know we were going to dive into that. I was going to actually propose an agenda, but since we're into this point, we can do this. Let's talk a bit about InReach first. I would like to talk about the meeting that we will have on Wednesday, which is an outreach meeting. I also wanted to solicit views on the larger question of the future evolution of NCUC and /NCSG, which is, I think, goes to how, some work we may or may not do, depending on what the answer is. So let's stay with the InReach first. I have a cue, Kathy, so unless it's a two-finger.
Wait, did you just change the topic, though? Is InReach what we're talking about?
Yes, okay. Basically. Yes, we're talking about how to engage members, get them plugged in, help them along, move them, support them, move them up the learning curve, these kinds of questions, yes. And so if you have if it's a two-finger that needs to go right now, then I'll do that. Otherwise, I'll go to Avery and come back to you.
I'd like to know if we can expand it to what is it that people need who are involved as well, those of us who have been participating for a while. What is it we need so that we don't go completely batty?
Mm-hmm. Okay, sure. I'm happy to do that. So Avery, Matt, Waleed, go.
Okay, thanks. Avery speaking. On that, I mean, I know for several people, and it's one of the things that's had me curious, for several people when they've come in, I've made the point, feel free, ask anything, anytime. And for a while they do, and then they stop. Now, I've never known as whether it's because, gee, I'm a bad explainer, I'm being somehow rude and making them feel stupid when I don't think I'm doing that, or what. But I've noticed that many times that I tell people, sure, send me a Skype anytime. If I'm around, I'll answer it, or I'll answer it when I come back. Don't worry about it. No such thing as stupid questions, blah, blah, blah. And so it starts, and it'll happen for a while. But as I say, I've become convinced that I must be fairly terrible at explaining things because there's always a drop-off where I assume either they're fine and on their way and they don't have any more questions, or somehow or other I'm not meeting their requirements. And I was fine with it because, being an optimist, I sort of said, oh, they're fine and they're on their way. But then when I hear in meetings the same people often saying there's no one to answer questions, it makes me curious.
Fair point. Okay, Matt?
Yeah, just two things. As a member of the two working groups, one on stewardship and one on accountability, I couldn't do any more, actually, at the moment. So in a way, that's my recommendation. Pick one space. Recommend to people that they pick one issue and that that's the way they become immediately effective in that issue space, because hopefully it's of interest, but it also inevitably begins to expose that person to other things around them. And I think that's the way to survive in a way, and just go to as many meetings as possible. Now, the other thing, and now as a new person to this, and I'm treading on thin ice here, but I think we lack process as a structure and process in terms of way of dealing with things. So, for example, and I'm just going to put that out there, but we don't want to get into a debate on it, the issue of the proposal that the BC made in terms of the vice chair. So ideally, okay, we only got it a week ago, I understand, it was last Monday, but ideally we would have had a more formed response so that we probably could have got through that more effectively, more efficiently. So I'm just saying from a process point of view, it would be good to kind of bring a little bit more of that. I think that would help in terms of people understanding how to engage, where to engage, what calls to be on, and things like that.
Thank you, Matt. Everybody's trying to jump the queue. So should I take the two queue jumpers, or should I go to Waleed and come back to you guys? Are you desperate? And let's stay with the queue. So Rafiq and Ravi, I'll return to you. And Waleed, you were next.
First things first, I may have not properly scheduled my trip back because I'm leaving on Wednesday morning. So it looks like I may.
That is correct. You did not schedule your trip properly. Yeah. When we gave you funding, I thought you were staying for Wednesday.
Yeah, apparently everything was done by the travel agency. I thought that's my role is ended there. All right. It might be possible to delay or not. I'll check with them. For the issue of engaging members, I myself had an opportunity to invite a few to become fellows, and they became fellows. And I already sensed from them that they feel inferior in terms of knowledge when they arrive to a room where everyone speaks in a high-level language, and they sit around and trying to make sense of it all, and eventually either end up trying to memorize the acronyms all day long and eventually linking what has been mentioned to the acronyms on the list. And then from there, either giving up, or if they're persistent, they may follow through and survive one more ICANN meeting and move on in that pace. But they rarely get to inform others about this lack of knowledge. And it's maybe a psychological reason. You don't really want to be seen as inferior. I mean, that's common sense. You don't want others to look at you and say, okay, this guy is dumb. So in order to deal with this, I would suggest, from coming from a technical background, why don't we develop what is called an expert system? It's an online platform that can ask you you have some sort of basics in everything. So start with, let's say, understanding the acronyms and main topics, and then moving on along the constituency that you are more, let's say, relevant to, for example, NCUC. So what you can say is that, do you understand what this means? And if it's yes, if it's no, then it takes you to an actual paragraph, maybe a video, and explaining exactly how it works. And then it moves on, are you okay with it, or do you need more explanation? And then if you need more explanation, then you can actually be forwarded to an email where you can ask someone. And if you are okay, you move on to the other concept. And moving on like this, automatically through a system, is much more comfortable for someone coming, you know, without having to bother anyone or email. And as you go along, you will realize that this can actually work for the whole organization, because then you can branch into whichever organization entity you are aiming at. In our case, it could be NCSG and then NCUC and others that relate to this. But if others are at large, for example, they may have a different path in this, you know, tree of knowledge. So I'd say this is one way in which I can personally contribute with, through developing a platform that allows this to happen. But of course, I will still need assistance and aid from those veterans and people who've been in this area for a while. And part of it is that if they could lend me their, or if they can offer their time to answer emails, answer in terms of maybe even Skype contact them, and furthermore, to provide any opinions, feedback about the platform. So if I get commitment in terms of, are you okay with the platform, or do you think this works or not, what should we include here and there, that in itself is going to contribute. So I'm just putting this out there, and maybe you can take it further for more.
Thank you. Those are all really interesting ideas. And by the way, we should point out, we should not have to build everything from the ground up, from scratch by ourselves. There is staff, there is support, and there are mechanisms. So this is a conversation we'll have going further. There actually is, we have, for example, just so you know, Waleed, supposedly 13 hours of a staff member's time, excuse me, who's supposed to be technically trained, who should be able to help with any kind of platform, things like that, that we might want to do. Now, Kathy.
Poor Stephanie. I called her out of the blue, hadn't talked to her in years, and I knew she was a privacy expert, and I knew we needed a privacy expert on the expert working group. What I don't know of the newcomers is what their expertise is, what their interest is, what their skill base is. So for me, I'm always looking for somebody who's coming in with an intellectual property bent, especially a fair use bent, somebody who knows the rules of intellectual property and knows when the intellectual property guys are just bullshitting us. I own this word. No, you don't own that word. So going back to years ago, a senior attorney told me she owned the word Bell and Bell Atlantic. And I'm like, over my dead body, do you own the word Bell? And hence the rest of my career has now been shaped. So who's coming in? What are people's back? I would love to know if we could do kind of an intake. You know, last thing people want to do is fill out a form, but I'd love to know who has privacy background. I'd love to know who has free speech background or just interest. Due process is a huge thing that we work on. Who's done some kinds of administrative law or administrative kind of regulatory types of things, the kinds of things we fight for. Also, I'd love to know around the table who's involved. So let me ask, who's involved in a working group, one or more? Cool. I'd love to know what working groups everybody's in, because occasionally there are quite – I'm involved in two, the IGO one and the proxy privacy accreditation. But how do I know, Matt, when to contact you? There are – you know, the issues bleed over from one to the other. I kind of have a sense of when to contact Avery, but at least I know some of – so where's the chart that kind of tells us who's in what, so that we know who to contact when we have questions about what's going on, or I've heard a rumor that you're – that the EWG council group is working on an issue that overlaps with the proxy privacy accreditation group. If I didn't know that Avery was on that, I wouldn't know who to ask that question to. So that this idea of institutionalizing, incorporating, creating, going from a set of friendships to a set of institutional knowledge that we can share. Similarly, people coming into the NCUC or NCSG, Rafi, should know, you know, that if they want to know why there are so many mistakes in the UDRP, they can contact me. I can tell them how we fought for everything we didn't get. So that history may help so that we can have also some consistency of positions if we want to have consistency. Everybody, I get the sense, is recreating their own wheel, and we don't have to do that. We should be training and sharing that history.
Institutional memory has always been a big problem. And it's inherently tied to the fact that we're a volunteer network. I mean, we don't have staff, you know. So everything, like everything you just suggested, Kathy, somebody would have to do that, you know.
So then the question. It's a chart that tells people where to start.
I can't get people to make calls when I schedule them. So getting people to do a chart is another step. But anyway, there's also the question is what things should be done at the constituency level, what things should be done at the stakeholder group level. But I take your point, and this is we're keeping notes on the suggestions, and these are things to take forward. Stephanie, did you have something? No, okay. So then we're back to Rafiq Avery.
Okay. Going to try to respond to some question and remarks here. Regarding to know who is involved in working group, I heard a lot of comments, who is doing what. We have the page and the wiki space. That's one of our problems. We have a wiki space. I am trying to update it. The admin support trying to update it, but I'm not sure how many people are checking it in a regular basis. When, for example, I welcome the newcomer, I try to redirect them to check those pages. And we have a page with a list of working groups and who from NCAG is involved there. And we are trying to update as much as possible. When we have an NCAG conf call, we try to ask the people who are involved in working group to share updates. So we can try to improve that, but it's really mostly the work of the policy committee. So I hope that the policy committee can focus, I'm talking about NCAG level, can focus on the term and how to prioritize, public comment and to follow up with working groups. For example, for the IANA and accountability, it's much better because we have kind of official representative. So there is expectation to get updates. For working groups, it depends, how people have some commitment there. In terms of expertise and interest, I agree with you, Kathy. The issue is, that was not done before. We can work in the term when there is a membership review. We can ask people questions about their interest. And then we have a system like CBCRM, which is used by many non-for-profit and organizations to get much more information about the members. That cannot be going to be done anytime soon. I'm trying. But for example, I asked the ICANN support if we can get a membership system. And what I was told, yes, maybe, but maybe that it can start. It will be in the fiscal year of 2016. So that's one of the issues. So we can try, but if either we do it by ourselves, we need volunteers. If we are going to wait for ICANN, it will take some time. So also responding to the question about the process, the example that you took, Matthew, about the proposal from the business, from CSG about election, I share the information. It's really up to the policy committee to intervene, to make proposal and to discuss. Personally, as a chair of NCSG, I have no power to do anything there. I'm just a member or ex-officio. It's really the policy committee to be more effective. I am expecting to that maybe happen within this year with the new leadership, and there is a lot of expectation that the PC member support the chair to do that. So we can agree on some process, how we can make consensus call and so on. So I think that's, there is expectation that everybody can do that. yes. I understand. We share a lot of information. It's really the time, I would say, the commitment of everybody. Whatever the committee they are, they have to respond to emails and to participate in the discussion. I hope that we move from kind of providing some remarks to be more proactive. I think that's what's really missing. I really acknowledge and I understand the issue that people are raising, but at some level we need people to do more effort. And I back to the point raised by Avery about people maybe, they ask questions. It happens also, I respond, I ask people, okay, you are a newcomer, you can ask what you want to do, and I start, what's your interest? If you are technical, maybe IDN will interest you more than other policy staff. And the problem, I think, is just what kind of focus. In ICANN, there are too many things. So for people, I think my advice, start with one working group, just one working group. You don't need to participate, sending questions, just observing to see what kind of dynamics, how it works, what kind of process, and then you will learn. Myself started one of the most dual working group. It was about restructuring in GNSO. It was about providing toolkit and so on. But I learned it from there. So it's just working group and you start. I know it's not easy, it takes time, but there is learning curve. Sorry.
Thank you, sir. Avery.
Thanks. This problem with just sort of saying we've got to create a process. We have created processes. We've created processes 1, 2, 3 times. Each time we have a new regime come in to lead whatever, we create a bunch of processes. What happens is, or at least what I think I see happening, is very few of us are nuts enough to be here all the time. There's a couple. But most people take vacations. Most people have families and take weekends. Most people have jobs and ignore this for part of the time. These processes, it happens. I don't understand it. Truly, I don't. But it does happen. And what happens with every process is that the person that's responsible for something is away, is not around, is. And so if we design new processes, and I'm not saying don't design processes because they haven't worked. What I'm saying is we can't design processes with one person, with one point person that you expect to be there, because by and large, the point person is never around when you need them. In terms of lists of who's in what working group, when I was chair of the NCSG Executive Committee, before we had a charter and an NCSG chair, I created such a list. And, you know, I kept it up for a while and tried to get people to keep it up. It fell apart. When Robin took, Right. But when Robin took over, you know, then she picked it up for a while, then it fell down. Now you've got it. So these things also keep coming and going so that people don't even know that they're actually there or don't actually trust that they're there. Yet they have almost always been there. Sometimes they've been stale, but for the last 5 years, that list of who's in what working group has actually been there at the NCSG level. It's not necessarily complete. It might be stale. But even when it's stale, you can go to the person that was doing it and sort of say, hey, your name is attached. And they go, it's right. But it has been announced. No, but these things existing have been discussed on the various mailing lists constantly. But again, it's a volunteer organization. Not everybody reads all the mail. Not everyone reads it all the time. And not everyone remembers what they've read. So in designing these processes, you need to go further than the first level of create a list. You need to be aware that there's various levels where it falls apart, even when you've done that intensive first part of building it. Because not only did I build it myself, but I've watched other people build it. And so you have to build in extra mechanisms if you're going to do it. The other one I wanted to talk about was the platform learning. It's a great idea. ALAC had the idea, started building one. ICANN came forward and said, we're ICANN, we'll do it. And they have that MyLearn platform that, you know, contains all kinds of modules on this, that, and the other thing dealing with ICANN. But it's incomplete. But it's not really good. But it sometimes gives a lame view of the world. And keeping those things up, getting them to par and using them. But I think on that one, I'd recommend taking a look at you know, the MyLearn system and working with ALAC and others that are doing those things. You know, it's, God, I forget who it is that's in charge of that at the moment, but I do know.
Nora.
Yeah, Nora, but there's, yeah. So it exists, but the actual starting a new one or whatever is something I'd caution and think 2 or 3 times about, because they're really hard to start and they're even harder to maintain and keep current. And so, again, the single volunteer, it's really nice that you volunteered. It's really nice that they've accepted your volunteering or volunteered you. But you're one person. You won't want to do it forever. You'll need more backup to doing that than you can, even though optimistically you look at it at this point. I hope I'm not being too much of a wet blanket. It's just we've had this conversation so many times.
We have.
And it's always well-intentioned. And as I say, I don't want to be the wet blanket.
And because we've had this conversation so many times, and I'm looking around, there's like 5 people with their cards up, and it's a conversation we'll probably have with NCSG again, I would like to actually see if we can't sort of like wrap, tie this off pretty soon, because we are having a meeting that I spent a bunch of volunteer time organizing with local civil society people on Wednesday, and we really need to talk about that. I'm hoping some people are going to show up since people encouraged me to organize the meeting, and now I'm finding out that a lot of people are disappearing. I need to know who's going to be here and how we're going to make this meeting work. Matt has gotten an office for us. So if we could just like maybe have a few last concise points on the problems of keeping people engaged and da-da-da-da-da, and we can return to this again tomorrow, because it is a perennial topic that NPOC likes to talk about it a lot, too. And, by the way, we also have an initiative among the chairs, which I will mention before we finish. But so just quickly, Dan.
Oh, I got a question.
And if they don't have fun, they won't stay. And that means minimize process and see some outcome that relates to the things they care about, right? I mean, that's how you keep volunteers in any organization. It's not process. It's fun.
No kidding. And we do process like nobody's business, and I can, unfortunately. So just are people burning on to keep going on this point, or is there anything we can hold till tomorrow? Kathy, are you waving at me that you want to?
So a quick idea based so that we come away with something, if there is a list, even if it's outdated, if it's on a wiki and we can update it, then could you please circulate it with the NCSG calls and say, this is the wiki list of the working groups, please update. And that way people will know it's there, because people on the working groups tend to come to the NCSG calls because they want to update. No. The list of the people, that's what we're looking for. The list of, if you could include that with each circulation, then we'll know where it is and what it is, and we can update it.
How many people have Confluence accounts and check the ICANN wiki with any regularity? I mean, this is the number one. I mean, I tell people when they join the NCUCEC, and I've said it a number of times on the members list as well, you should get yourself a Confluence account. All you got to do is send a note to Glenn. She sets it up. Boom. Then you have access to the joint wiki. There's only so many times some of us can keep repeat. I can't even begin to guess what percentage of my time as a chair repeating things to people, requests that people do things, reminders that people do things, reminders that people respond to emails. And, Kathy, it's a lot of work. I'm not criticizing you or disagreeing with you, so don't get frustrated. I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying. I'm saying it's just simply that, you know, I think Rafiq is also expressing a little frustration. We do try and put these in these places, but, again, if people don't even have Confluence accounts to look at the stuff that is put up, then, you know. So. That's true. You only need to edit. But, I mean, I don't know how often people ever look at this stuff that Rafiq circulates. There's also the question for me of what of this needs to be done at the constituency level, and what should we be doing at the stakeholder group level, which is a whole other thing in terms of how we're going to allocate our scarce times and energies. But I think I take seriously the points you're making, and I think that we should figure out ways of trying to share information more effectively. I would hope that we have the staffer and we could try to provide to her more guidance so that some of these things she can take on more herself, some of the rote things that don't have to be, you know, that don't necessarily require our individual attention to do it. Maintaining calendars, maintaining lists of people who are involved in things, all those things, I would think perhaps we could try to give her more of that. She actually needs the work. I mean, she needs to have 13 hours. But again, even that, that means Rafiq and I and Rudy have to spend our time managing her and giving her tasks and then trying to make sure that she's on top of it. So it's a challenge. Yes, Stefania, please. You have not spoken.
Just to make it more complex, I tried to bring in some people. and they enthusiastically come in, and then after a while they ask me, can I get off the mailing list because there's too much going on. So I know that it is not our main concern, but it is a problem. So perhaps, I don't know whether there's, it makes sense to have different levels of engagement, different mailing lists. I don't know, really. I just want to share it because it is somehow a recurrent thing.
I can respond quickly. I mean, yeah, I heard that also. What some people suggest is maybe to have kind of tag. That's I'm trying to clarify what is it. Sometimes I say that's conf call information. It's info. It's an update. I don't have, but I'm trying to set up kind of tags to explain. But also we try to explain people, for example, newcomer, that you can set up digest mode and so on. Sometimes people need to do, I mean, that's the level of effort we can explain, but if they think they receive a lot of traffic, they can digest more. That's the simplest way. But yeah, we receive sometimes people sign off, and I ask them why. Some people just want to focus on something else, but we can try to improve the way of traffic. I'm discussing with someone, what's her name, Heather Layson, which is working, I mean, was really about community engagement, and one of her suggestions, really we need to move more to use the wiki and to put there more effort in the process and so on. But we still have more people that like using the email, I mean, the mailing list, and we have too much traffic. So it will take time to move there and to kind of educate people how to. But yeah, I acknowledge that.
If we had been able to set up a structure with interest groups where people worked on projects, you know, and we had different lists for all those things. And so if your interest was primarily privacy, you would be on that list and you wouldn't be reading all the other messages and so on, then that might reduce the flow. But since we don't have that kind of a thing, everything's omnibus, everything's in one space, and that means everything goes to that list. And there are going to be people who say, this is too overwhelming, and they cut out. And it's kind of hard to know, should we talk less? We want people to engage. So then, you know, so what do you do? I really want to move this other point, but I don't want people to be frustrated with me. So, João and Marilia, if you could just, like, briefly, whatever, because you've got your flags up, I'm assuming you want to speak. So could you?
It's my turn. Yeah. All right. I talk about the subjects of the capacity building and something about. There was some kind of trouble between newcomers and the experts on any group. I faced this a lot, you know, between 1997 to 2003, when I drive to one big computer user groups in Brazil with thousands and thousands of users. When I think the subject was ended, that common newcomer opened these again. It's very sad about this. What you did to solve this is to build a big one, frequently answered questions, and a strategical list of links. Just keep, when the people come to the subject, you can share links. You see this information. But every told about the lack of participation between, for example, the mailing list. There's an asynchronous communication. We face this again, and I face this too, and this lack of participation is not really also related to asynchronous communication. This can be more defined by the ampersand rule. It's an interesting rule of the internet, of the stuff. Just 1% of the people really taking the participation intensely of the debates, of the stuff. There was no solution if this, then though capacity building, then the stimulating these peoples. I just think about this since your morning meetings. Running NECUC or running another groups or stuff, you are building the pain on the fly. Okay. Newcomer can be, when a newcomer comes to the group, newcomers seek for acceptance of the groups. And he can put interesting stuff. But the experts had no time to say, okay, it's good. But there was need someone on the group on participation, and I can, to say it publicly. All right, good stuff, good point. All right, let's discuss this. Oh, good point. But sheep, check disease, this link, you talk about this. I need some kind of tutorial, people working dynamically, or not some mailing list, but in their meetings or all the times with the group, and to work on this capacity building. For example, these newcomers can, for example, no, the newcomers can be is not working inside the NCUC, that's because the NCUC can be big one group. But if you can spread our concern, you can spread our agenda of our need, you can build a large group of advocates out of the NCUC, for example. But I believe in the capacity building and the basic on the keys. The keep it is stupidly simple. When you teach something for a newcomer, don't go into the details of this. I face this, wow, how complicated is this? But and otherwise, the fellowship program works very hard, very fine. It's the perfect solution to join people into this. Amazing, no? It's a crazy world of acronyms of the we face nowadays in ICANN. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Marilia.
Thank you, Bill. First of all, just would like to recognize the huge efforts that you and Rafiq have put into engagement and calling everybody's attention of what is important, what we need to do, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Just would like to make a point regarding the wiki space, which I think it's very important for us to understand what is going on and who is doing what, and so we can reach out to people. And the comment that I would like to make is related to a kind of an attitude that I completely understand from people that have been in this space forever. And when we come up with a new idea, oh, but it was proposed like 5 years ago, and this is totally going to fail. And I'm not talking about what Avery said today in our meeting. It's a totally, completely different situation. But what I mean is that you are starting fresh. You propose something. And because it failed 5 years ago, it does not mean that it's going to fail again. I mean, there are so many things that contribute to something being a success of a failure. So we just not should not just hamper people and what they're trying to do, because I mean we just are discouraged by the past or by anything. So this year I just proposed that we created something different from the wiki, because I think that the wiki, first of all, okay, everybody should have a Confluence account. Then you create this account, you forget the account, you don't know what your password is. And, I mean, if we want to create something that is really low barrier for people to go there, for them to update, for them to feel part of the process, and also for them to take the burden and the responsibility to keep the information there updated, then we need to have a platform that is easier to use. We can search for different platforms. I don't like Google at all, but if we had a spreadsheet that everybody from the group would have access to and could update. And I just sent this spreadsheet to everybody and was, oh no, it's not going to work. We have the wiki space. And I totally understand where you're coming from. But I would like us to take a look at this again, because I think that what the wiki space has in terms of information is very limited. It does not help us to get organized in strategic terms. It does not signal to us what are the key issues, what are, you know, the key documents, what is the stage, what is the next step, what is the deadline, what is the time of the next meeting. So there are many informations that should be there, and they're not. So maybe we could try to think, it doesn't have to be a Google spreadsheet or anything that I proposed before, but let's try to think about something that really could help us visualize what is going on and how we can get involved and what is the stage. Because I know that you have many of these things mapped in your mind, but for people that are arriving, I mean, it's really hard for us to understand what is going on right now and how we can get engaged. So let's try to make it simpler and think about it, please.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to point out, by the way, that this whole sort of question is not one that, I mean, it hardly needs to be said, but I'm going to say it, is not one that is simply being discussed by us. It's being discussed across ICANN community all the time. And in particular, I will tell you that there is a chairs process that FADI initiated a year or two ago, I can't even remember now, where the chairs of all the SOACs, SGs, and Cs
talk to each other once a month and have meetings prior to the ICANN meetings. And they had the wonderful idea that we didn't have enough to do, and so we had to create teams to try and do things and so on. So there are three groups now that are working, one on problems of knowledge management and how the information architecture of ICANN confounds and makes things difficult for participants, which goes to the point that you were just raising. And that's a concern that's shared across groups. I can't even remember what the second one was because I'm jet-lagged, brain crashing. Third one is the one that I've been pushing, which was the inReach issue. That group is supposedly me, Rudy, and Tony Holmes, but you could look at the wiki page. Almost everything on there is from me. What we've tried to do was to identify barriers to sustaining engagement of people once we get them in the door, keeping them involved in the process, both at the particular at the level of the particular grouping, SOAC, whatever else, and across ICANN. We have a 4x4 table. I'll put the link into the. Of course, none of you are on the. Actually, none of the people in this room are on the Adobe, so I can't really share it to you, with you that way. But anyway, bottom line is we're having a discussion about precisely these problems of barriers to keeping people involved. What are you looking so perplexed about? You can see the Adobe, so if I send you a really long URL, you will go to it. Okay. Here. I'll put it into the chat. This is going to be a topic that we're going to discuss in Singapore at the so-called high-interest session on Monday. We are going to have a discussion about the problem of getting and sustaining participant engagement in ICANN processes, burnout, and all the rest. And so if we have particular thoughts that we want to bring to bear on that, that would be good. And you can have a look at the link that I just sent. If you can log into the Adobe, you can click on it, and you'll see what I've put online. And Tony added a few things. Rudy has not said anything in this process over the months. So this is an ongoing issue and one that will continue. Let me turn, because we have 10 minutes left, and I was told by Rob that they do want us out of the building. We had, when this meeting was being set up, the idea was floated around, maybe we should do an outreach thing like we did in London and Los Angeles, and so I spent a bunch of time trying to chase down Washington, D.C. public interest group people and get them interested in coming to meet with us, and announced a number of times to people that we were hoping everybody would come and participate, and this would be a good chance to maybe interest, A, to learn from Washington, D.C. activists about what's going on, B, share information, and C, maybe even sort of make being involved with us look tempting and interesting. So, we have, unfortunately, the timing is not very good. A lot of people are on vacations. There's conflicts with other meetings, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But we have now on Wednesday at 10 to 12 p.m., as I've said before, at the Center for Democracy and Technology, for which Matt works on I Street, a meeting with Carolina Rossini from Public Knowledge, Danielle Kell from the Open Technology Institute, David Sullivan from the Global Network Initiative, David Post, former professor at Temple and who's written books on internet governance and been very involved for a long time, now working with the Open Technology Institute, Elliot Maxwell, who was one of the people back during the Clinton years, was very involved in shaping the whole launch of the internet space and so on. Elliot's a great guy. Emma Lanso, colleague of Matt, Jane Coffin from the Internet Society, Professor Laura Donardis, some of you may know her work, from American University, Marcus Coomer from the ICANN board, Natalie Green from the OTI, Robert Guerra, many of you know, Susan Aronson from George Washington University, Tim Rideau from German Marshall Fund. So we have a good group of people coming to meet with us and talk about what kinds of issues we are trying to push in the ICANN space. And it would be good if we could show up physically and intellectually and engage them on these issues. I suggested as a list of possible topics that we could talk about, as we've done at the previous outreach events, that we would have NCUC members boot up the conversation by offering a couple of minutes, like 3-minute introduction of what NCUC/NCSG is doing on a particular issue, throw a bunch of things on the table, then ask them to provide their input on, you know, what's going on in DC of direct relevance, and then move towards a more open and integrated discussion. I think it can be a good conversation. The topics that I was suggesting, and I had sent messages multiple times to the NCSG policy list and elsewhere asking, will people do this? And I didn't get responses from people saying, yes, I will cover that issue, but okay. So IANA and the transitioning of U.S. authority, I was hoping Avery would do that. She's not going to be there. Matt will do that. Accountability mechanisms in the context of globalization, Matt will also cover that one to introduce. Human rights generally, because we have an initiative that we've been pushing for quite some time and now is getting traction with other players getting involved. I was hoping Marilia would do that. She's not going to be there, I find out now. So would somebody else would like to? Rafiq, would you like to talk about that? You've been involved in the group, or I can talk about it, but just briefly to introduce it. Or you're not even listening. So fine, I will do that one. And then privacy and registry services, Stephanie, if you could say a few words about what's going on. And, you know, we organized this big 3-hour meeting that we had, and we've been doing all these initiatives and yada, 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 trying to get more people involved. Freedom of expression issues, I don't know if there's anybody who specifically would want to talk briefly about freedom of expression aspects of GTLD. Okay, it'd be great if you could come, Waleed. See what you can do. Access to knowledge, intellectual property. Kathy, I mean, you've been doing all this trademark stuff for years, UDRP, et cetera. You try to get the rest of us interested. I think some of these people from the D.C. community have those issues on their horizon. If you're able to come and say something about that kind of work, that'd be really... Yeah, okay, right. All good. And then, Rafiq, I'd ask you if you would say something about our efforts with development and, you know, JAS and things like trying to put the concerns of developing countries on the agenda of a lot of people who generally never thought about this before. We started to raise these issues 5 years ago. And are you trying to interrupt before I finish? Are you trying to jump in, or can I finish the list? There are just 2 more points. And then internet governance, ICANN's involvement in internet governance more generally, Net Mundial Initiative, IGF, things like that, if people wanted to talk about those kinds of things, which I can certainly address. I stop. So this is the proposal of topics that we would throw on the table and then invite DC folks to give us feedback. I would imagine much of the conversation would end up being about IANA and accountability, but, you know, let's see what people want to talk about. So, Rafiq, and then Matt.
Okay. Sorry, Bill. I'm sorry. I couldn't catch what you were saying before, but okay, no problem. But what was the topic you wanted me to talk about other than development?
I was saying what we've been trying to do with human rights for the past few...
Yeah, but because I'm not really the expert on
okay,
that.
Okay, so I can do it real quick.
So. Okay, so just to maybe to understand, so we will have 2 hours or 1 hour and a half?
2 hours.
Okay. So I think... So how you see, like, 30-minute kind of introduction on this topic? And
hopefully we will be briefer because these are, like, a lot of smart people who aren't going to want to sit there and listen to us rattle on and on and on. So we should just tee up and say, look, folks, just so you know, things that you care about, values you share, we're doing all this stuff in ICANN, and actually there's a lot of stuff happening. Here it is, and then invite them.
That's why I think we need to stress about to be concise, brief, and to the point. I mean, even they are smart, and so we should not overload them with a lot of information. So
the points we may just mention very briefly. And, oh, by the way, there's also initiative on this. Boom. you know.
Okay, it's just 30 minutes, and then like the rest will be kind of interaction.
Really, let's think like 20 minutes for us to talk at them, and then get it
okay.
open.
And maybe to understand what's the shape of the meeting room. I mean,
logistics and things like that. And first of all, we should thank Matt for going out on the limb with his organization and securing this room for us. It's really great that he was able to do that.
It's a pleasure. The room is probably not quite as long as this and a little bit narrower. And it has a large, oval, extended oval kind of seating area in the middle, which can take about at a maximum 25, 30 people around this long table. And then there are seats around the sides. And we will have coffee. So that's and it's easy to get to, and it's right by, I think it's Farragut Square, right?
And you know what, Matt? Also, we tend to take this as self-evident. A lot of the folks here have never been to Washington, D.C. before.
Right.
So it's at 16th and I.
Okay, so it's 17th and I.
17th
and I. Is it Metro?
We'll go over together from the hotel. But just so you know, in case you get lost or somehow check the emails I've passed along about this before, too. But it's and do we need to do anything to get into the building, Matt? I mean, do we need to be signed in or?
No, you don't need to be signed in.
Okay.
But it would be good to have a. I mean, we have the list of people, but.
So we just go in and go up to the what floor?
Just go up to the 11th floor. And you'll come out of the elevator and it's right there.
Okay. And will you tee this up or will your boss be there to greet us?
My boss is in San Francisco, so
okay.
I'm happy to tee it up.
Okay.
And then hand over, I assume,
okay.
to you.
Yes.
Yep. Okay. The only thing I was going to say. I think what's really important also is that we hear from them what they think are the most pressing issues for them, and should we be covering some of those issues? Should we not? You know, so I think it's a kind of a two-way thing. They're going to want to know from us what's the latest on this issue, or why are you covering this issue in ICANN? That's the kind of things that's the kind of feedback I'm getting.
And those are certainly things we can do. So again, we are not going to just. We have to share a bit with them, you know, right? I mean, because for people who don't work within ICANN, they may have an interest in intellectual property, but they don't know exactly what the issues are in ICANN or privacy, et cetera. So we have to tee it up a little bit, but it's not about us talking at them. We're trying to really engage them, and these are all people who are really on the ball on a lot of these issues. Kathy?
First, Matt, are you going to send direction? First, CDT is actually walking distance from here. I passed it on my way from the metro coming in. But if you send directions from the hotel, people know. I know I got lost the first time I went looking for it. It's a great room. A lot of great discussions have taken place there. I'm still confused about what's happening. Are we going to throw all these topics out on the table at once or go through them? So whoever introduces Ayanna and the transition, is there then going to be a little bit of a discussion about it right there
okay.
and then?
And so what's happened before, Kathy, we did one in London, and we tried to do one in L.A., but it turned out that it was very hard to get L.A. people to I have to drive over there, dude. So we ended up, like, just really with the people who are already at the ICANN meeting. What happened in both cases is you say, okay, we're going to go through the following seven issues, and you put it up on a list, and then you say, okay, first issue, and then everybody jumps in, and the conversation goes on for 45 minutes. You can't get people to stop, just like we just did here with InReach. And so you never get to the next issues, and you never get through the list. So what I was thinking in this case was if we are very concise and just, like, put things out on the table and say, so things we're working on NCUCS, NCSDR, bing, 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 boom, and then ask them to come back at us and then open it up in an integrative way, and then the conversation will emphasize whichever bits we want. We will have at least have put everything on the table that we wanted to put on the table. Otherwise, get into, like, trying to, like, get people, can we please move along, stop this point, last intervention on this, all that kind of management of discourse crap that often doesn't work with people who are very engaged and want to talk about what they want to talk about. I think it's just better for us to throw it out there in a blast and then get people going where they want to go. That's my thought.
Yeah, Bill, we shouldn't assume that these people who are coming know about NCSG, NCUC, how to engage. I mean, we're going to have a little bit of an introduction, I think.
I will do a couple of minutes, but only a couple of minutes at the front end, and I will have brochures. One of the other things we learned at the London meeting, we had, because the staff were there with us, and we had a staff member who wanted to do ICANN 101. He sent me the night before the meeting 40 slides and said, here's the slide deck for my presentation tomorrow. And I said, no, it isn't. I gave him four slides. I said, you can do these, and then I'll do a little bit. And even that ended up like 10 minutes at the front end of org chart, and people don't want to hear org chart. So I think we just briefly kind of say, you know, within ICANN, civil society is in this space, and then start talking substantive issues. Nobody wants to hear all the internal crapola about there's NCUC and NPOC and NCSG and at large, and how are they all different? And, you know, it makes everybody crazy. And it just always just kills interest in talking. I think if we get right into, like, let's talk about IANA, you know, the U.S. I mean, in Washington, D.C., this is a big freaking deal, right? So let's get people talking about that as quickly as possible. That's my thought. We are all exhausted. Avery?
As I say, I'll attempt to be there for the last hour. I'm going to go to the delegation meeting for the ITU, but as soon as that's over, I'll come over.
Yes. Anything else? Yes.
I know what the answer will be, but let me ask. Do you want one PowerPoint slide from different people? Are you trying to put up any?
Zero.
No links, no acronyms, no anything.
Okay. Then people start to feel like they're being talked at and all that. We're trying to make it, I think, feel loose and interactive and, you know.
A couple are going to turn up around 10:30.
I'm sure that not everybody who's RSVP'd will even show up.
Yeah.
So, you know, 14 people told us to come. We might get 8, you know, might get 9. How do you know? You can't control these things. So I'm not going to get overwrought about it. The point is we made the effort. We tried. It also confused the hell out of people that NPOC is holding a meeting at the same time. And I had multiple people writing. So this, again, I spent a bunch of time trying to – I have to go back into the history and say, well, there's NCUC, there's NPOC. Why is it that NPOC's meeting is being supported by the ICANN staff? They get the ICANN office. They got a webinar. And we were told there was no resources available for us to do anything. Well, who knows? But in any case, we're doing it self-help on our own, volunteer labor. So we really appreciate those of you who can coming along and us sort of reaching out to the local community. Okay, I'm sure absolutely everybody wants to stop this and have a drink and relax and get themselves keyed up for the reception at 7. So I was thinking we might have talked a little bit about the fundamental question about whether NCUC and whether NCSG, and, you know, my burning desire to be the last chair of NCUC and to shut the thing down and just have us merge into NCSG and be done with it. But no, we obviously don't have the bandwidth for that conversation now. So hopefully at some point we can address these issues. I think this whole thing, the constituency structures, we are not going to get the board to agree to reorganize the stakeholder group and its internal space. But if we wanted to stop existing, we could. You know, the only question is we would need a guarantee of the three, that we don't lose the three travel slots. And we have the problem that we have a representative on the NOMCOM, and how would that work? So it's very hard to make it, you know, very hard to make us go away, but we're stuck in a structure. It's like a really bad marriage, and it makes me absolutely insane. Stephanie?
I'm sorry nobody has the bandwidth to discuss this, because it does seem to me pretty important. And I know you folks who've been around a while know the insider baseball and the history, but it's just one of those mysteries to us newbies. And, you know, we don't understand the risks. I get an uneasy feeling about even talking about it, but I could certainly see that parties across the table are suggesting just abandon, you know, why don't we throw out the structure? And,
It would be nuts.
Well, that was my feeling. And, you know, we need a risk assessment. We need all kinds of things. And so I think we do need to have a pretty long private conversation about that stuff because, you know, I don't see any sign of the I wouldn't feel good about it until our own sort of ship was in order in terms of getting people in and then supporting them and making them feel engaged and not overwhelming them and not burning us people that are stupid enough to join committees out, you know? Because that's a real risk that I can see. I mean, I can't stop joining committees because I need to know what's going on in the other committee.
I'm getting a little off the topic.
Yeah, but that's related to this.
Okay, so anyway, I was simply expressing my fervent desire that we could put ourselves out of this misery. I'm fully aware that we're not going to. The question then is whether we want to. I tried repeatedly to get people to like want to do. Then okay, should we go back and you know revise the bylaws or should we, if we can't make this thing go away, then we'll have to do that. And I will try again to get people interested in working on that. But I just think it's a complete freaking disaster that wastes an enormous amount of time and energy and confuses everybody who comes near us. Kathy.
Okay. I think Ivory got it right. It would be nuts to do away with NCUC. I know it takes an enormous amount of your time, and I appreciate that. But when it comes to the working groups where the policy is being debated, NCUC's view and MPOC's view are often very different. But what really concerns me about if NCUC were to go away is all those people around the table upstairs, because the commercial stakeholder group, the intellectual property constituency, the business constituency, and the IPC, the ISP constituency, aren't going away. They want...
We're not going away. I mean, the point is we're all NCSG members. Right? So we could simply say we're going to work at the stakeholder group level now.
We could. Yeah. But I'm saying given who we're looking across the table at, all around that table, is three stakeholders, it's three constituencies that aren't going away. In fact, they want more power.
Yeah.
And those are the people we go one-on-one with in the working groups. So it's a very important voice that NCUC has had for a long time. We bring a set of principles and values and backgrounds and expertise and interest and outreach that no one else does.
Yeah, I'm totally sold on that point. Cool. It was only a question of whether we need the additional two-layer thing to do precisely that. Not entirely evident to me, but okay.
Yeah. When I say it's nuts, I mean it's nuts to do it unilaterally. That's what I believe is nuts. If we could make the constituency structure wither away and all work at the stakeholder group level with interest groups like we wanted to create and like the registry stakeholder group has started to create, that I wouldn't think is nuts. And I think it's something that is an idea that we can keep alive through the review process. And if we actually succeed at getting them to think about the structure of a review and the inconsistencies, then I think it's one of the possibilities. But at the moment, constituencies are where money comes through. Constituencies are where NomCom seats until they change that come through. So unilaterally is the what I consider nuts. If we can find a way to have the structure get rid of that level, that one level of separation so that we were just all NCSG, I'd be overjoyed. But it's the unilateral that I mean is nuts.
Yeah, and it was only a half-serious suggestion, but, I mean, the point is it's very hard to have this conversation with MPOC folks because they're very wedded to having their thing, and so I don't think we can convince them.